tent.
Yeah, so yesterday we woke up in the tent in Nelson.
In the Nelson City Campground.
What time did we wake up, actually?
Oh, it was like 8:39, something like that. No.
It was not so bad.
A little earlier.
I don't remember exactly. But it was early enough. I remember that we finished packing like 10:45 or something like this. Like we set off like 15 or 20 minutes before the checkout time.
Okay.
Yeah, but we packed, we actually managed to take a shower. So like the campsite grounds were really well equipped, right? I mean, I haven't been to a campsite yet with washing machines, microwaves, and
right.
And
well, it is in the middle of the city, so.
So that was really great. And it's great that they had showers. Although showers, I mean, they left a little bit to be desired, but it was more than welcome.
Utility.
Having them, right? At least we had the flip-flops to, like, degrow, like, not expose our feet to the surfaces. And we had our own little soap thingy that came in handy for the first time. Like properly handy, because until now it was nice to have, and then it was like, oh, we actually have soap.
Quite the highlight.
And then we went to have coffee. So we went to have coffee, and I had breakfast at a nice coffee place. What's the place called?
John Ward.
John Ward in Nelson. Coffee was nice. It was somehow the niceness of the coffee, because the coffee was quite subtle. The taste was like nice and smooth, but it was a little bit overshadowed for me by this brownie I had. So the panini was nice and smooth, but the brownie was very flavorful, and I couldn't really feel the taste of coffee afterwards. It was just too much brownie.
It kind of killed it?
Yeah.
Well, that's their fault, having a bad pairing for coffee.
Well, not really. I mean, it's your choice.
Yeah.
Also, I already had some of the coffee with the panini, so by the time I went to the brownie, I didn't have much left, and I was just like, oh, brownied up.
Oh.
I didn't want to, waste food, though. So I finished it. Then we went to one outdoor place. Did we buy anything there? No. We only bought things in one outdoor place, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we went there, they didn't have GoPro mounts, they didn't have running shoes or anything. And we went to this... Or did we go to the sports place first? Did we go to sports place first or the mount? Yeah. No, mountaining thing. Yeah, then we went to a second shop. You bought the paracord for Pete.
Oh, yeah.
Then we went to a sports place, and the first sports place just had basically enough stock to find something for you. So we got you nice Brooks, whatever are they called? Are they called adrenaline or something? Or something starting with
you're A. Sitting on them.
If it sits, it fits. Cascadia. Kind of like Canadia. 16.
Just use a marker.
Yeah, so we got Brooks shoes, which is nice, because I am a fan of Brooks shoes. I'm wearing them now.
Right. Unburred.
And now they are, yeah. And they told us that there's a Best Buy that opened in the mall, and they'll have GoPro mounts. You called Best Buy, and they just were like, yeah, of course, everything's here for you. We're just waiting. We drove down, was there. We bought it, installed the equipment. And then we were, good to go with recording. The only problem was we had basically 1.5 battery left. Actually, not even one. One was full, and the other was more like, actually, like 20%.
Okay.
So there's very little recording from that day, actually. A few clips. So we got the nice and really solid GoPro mounts, but then didn't actually to take advantage of it, but it's not like it's going away anywhere. We'll keep using these, so it's fine. Then we were riding. How was the riding from Nelson? think the beginning was decent, but we were stuck behind cars most of the time, right? Actually, no, the beginning to the ferry was good.
Yeah.
Then the ferry was nice, and we got to speak to a racist grandpa, as you do.
Who's lived everywhere.
I mean, that's the thing. You'd kind of figure that a person who's kind of lived in a lot of places and moved up in society to be a little bit more open. Yeah. But at some point, people just, I think, try to build a narrative that fits their worldview as opposed to adjusting their worldview based on what's around them. And I mean, if he lived in a £2.5 million house in London, then he's
a particular
worldview. He's gonna be a little bit skewed, yeah. And also, really, I find this fascinating how he, having been so wealthy while he lived in the UK, was somehow bothered by the poor immigrants, right, as if that ever
affected him
in any way. And he probably has never fucking spoken to one of them, but or like lived among them. But it's kind of it's hard because it makes you want to like debunk it when you talk to someone like this, especially having lived that life and having been, going through all the steps of getting like child benefit and housing benefit and all of this in the UK and just being on the receiving end of it and just saying like, sorry, but you don't know what you're talking about, but without being arrogant, because he has lived longer than us by a considerable amount and he has seen things, right? So you can't deny him experience. And if you're just gonna tell him like, no, you're dumb, then he's not gonna change his mind. So I tried to be diplomatic about it, and it did seem like he was taken aback a little bit. Was he? Think so?
Yeah.
But it's also a little bit hard when you move from a society like you were in the UK, where people are mostly accepting of immigrants, to a place like Germany, when they're not, and when you're being on the receiving end of the like immigrant hate, you just start thinking like, okay, like it could be anybody. I mean, it's me now, but if you as a Canadian were forced now to live somewhere else and you'd be on the receiving end, you'd have a different opinion very quickly.
Right.
About like acceptance and what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. When it comes to like immigration policies and benefits and stuff and whatever. Because in the end, there are way bigger problems that cause economic issues for a country than benefit scam. Benefit scam is a drop in the ocean.
Right.
So, and then that is also juxtaposed with the fact that the guy loves Trump.
Yeah.
Somehow, in his opinion, that's the fix to the poverty problem. As like, it's just like one millionaire to another is like, yeah, let's fix the problems by making corporations more money. let me fire up my cigar.
That'll solve everything.
Yeah. So that was fun. A shame we didn't fucking record the sound of the conversation. That's hilarious. So we just figured out all of the recordings we took with a little GoPro didn't have sound because I fucked up and turned off the sound recording by accident.
Yeah.
So the ferry was great. Couldn't see shit because it was so cloud.
It's too bad.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what I missed.
Cause yeah, I know.
All I saw was like the intro into the Alone in the Dark movie where they go in and everything is just covered in mist, you know? Or was it Silent Hill? No, Silent Hill, where it's so misty. All Silent Hill movie. That's what it felt like. Then we got off the boat and the grandpa just like fucking raced off in his Yaris.
I know, right?
He just hummed it. And he even made space for us to like make us jump in the queue because he thought we were gonna like smash it down the road on our bikes.
And
we just watched us. Yeah, and then we just immediately parked and he was like, okay, screw it, I'm going. Screw you guys, I'm going home. Jesus. And then the rest of the trip to, was it Creston?
Yeah.
It was kind of okay, but kind of not as exciting because we just had a lot of traffic in our way. Creston itself, we had a nice meal in a Thai restaurant. I was starting to get really hungry at that point. So if we left the campsite around 11, we left the town like 12:15.
Yeah.
Actually, a bit later, I think. We left the town center. Yeah, and I ate earlier. We left town center around 12:15, and then we went to get the corporals. So we left the town itself closer to 1. Yeah, so we were in Crescent at about like 4 or 5.
Yeah, wow. I think. No wonder you were hungry.
Yeah. I mean, we had late breakfast. We had breakfast around 11:30 or something like this. Yeah. And then after Creston, we decided to get lost because we had too much fuel in our tanks, clearly, and we need to fucking waste it a bit. So we went to see, to wave to the, you know, American border crossing guards and just leave them in the dust cloud.
That afterwards. Was not the intention, but it happened.
What do you mean? You completely planned it. You're just pretending now. You just wanted me to not have enough fuel to get home.
That's surprisingly close, though.
It's a conspiracy. Then... yeah, we went back. Yeah, then we just like smashed it. We completely were just smashing it down, churning the miles just to get home. It wasn't even so bad, that road. It was okay.
Yeah.
Better than the motorway on the first day, and definitely better than the motorway on the second day. Yeah, and then I was starting to get nervous because, actually not even nervous, I didn't care. If like one of us ran out of fuel and the other one just goes on the bike and brings some fuel, so like, fuck it, right? Oh, we call your brother because we're close by then, and he can fix us.
Yeah.
Fix us up. But let's make sure we're recording. Yes.
Is there sound?
There's sound. Yeah.
We saw that biker on the side of the road.
Yeah, we stopped for a biker to see if we can help him because we saw someone broke down and it was obviously a Harley. I mean, who else would break down? And he just lost bolts because that's something that happens like, quite frequently.
I couldn't believe that. He's like, yeah, this happened a couple times.
Yeah.
Bolts just fall out.
And he was like, yeah, I just need to like fix my gear lever to the little shaft with some wire.
It's like, dude, they have thread locker. Like, it's a thing.
Yeah, I wasn't going to like... We're there to help him, not to like,
not
to talk him down, yeah, you know? So it's like, I'm actually, you're a dumbass.
Well, you messed up.
So yeah, it was nice chatting. Everybody in general, everybody all the time is nice. Oh yeah, we had a nice chat with a cop and two motorcyclists in Nelson, right? About the BMWs they were riding.
Yeah.
It was fun. And then, yeah, I just kept watching the signs for Cranbrook. Because it was like 30 kilometers to Cranbrook. And my bike was showing 20. Right. 20 left to Cranbrook and my bike was showing 10. And then 10 to Cranbrook and my bike was showing 0. And I just kept going and going. Yeah. And just to add to the fun, my clutch lever started catching.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't dangerous. It wasn't like anything. You can always... I mean, in a pinch, you can dry shift, like whatever. It's not good for the bike, but you will live. but the worst thing was my screen just decided to have a fucking seizure. It was just strobing on and off the bike. Like, anytime I'd like accelerate and be in like the vibratory range, it would like just on off. Yeah. So I think we made it home just in time before I went crazy with this bike. If I had to ride a full day like this, it would start getting old very quick.
Well, we would have fixed the clutch.
I was just going to let you fix it now. But the screen, I don't know. I mean, we could have probably taken apart the like digital assembly and see if something is loose.
Who knows?
But the problem is when you stand, static is not it's not a problem. Yeah. It's only when you're moving.
Yeah. So to test it, you have to get them going.
Or you're just like one person is like doing cable and the other is just shaking it. Yeah, and then we came home to a nice, like, warm welcome by Brent's family, and it was very lovely, and I got a beer, and you got, what did you get?
Wine, I think.
Wine. And we were just, like, reminiscing the fabulous Budget Bike Battle Banff minus Banff.
We didn't actually get it there.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. That was the day. Oh, yeah, then, and then we went to bed.